kind of turned into a little longer than I thought it was. I was going to do 1 or 2 weeks of this patient series and then move on to another topic matter that I've been wanting to discuss and teach a little bit. But every time I try to go to that subject matter, I just keep thinking of more stuff and more stuff. And I think this is finally the way we need to close this out in order to really understand this matter of patience. We've talked a lot about patience this month and the different aspects of it and different lessons from it, most of it being from the point of view of being in the position of waiting. We all get in that position of waiting at one point or another. There's always that one spot where it's almost like you're spinning your tires, you're stuck. And it's not so much the waiting, it's what you do while you're waiting that's mostly important. And that's what God speaks on most times in the Bible. It's not so much the waiting itself, but what you do while you wait. And then last week we talked about the examples of patience that we are to draw from in our life and how one day you will be that example of patience for your kids, your church, everyone in your life. So this week, I'd kind of like to talk about more focus on the waiting part of it, because we all know that patience is the aspect of it that allows you to, I don't want to say accept the wait, but it gives you the motivation to do what you need to do while you're waiting with the in light of what's at the end of this waiting period and what it can teach you and other people and how you grow closer to God, and overall gives you a better understanding of His character. But we're just going to read two verses this morning out of James, and I got a few other ones along the way. We're going to start in James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 7 and 8. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." I wouldn't be surprised if you're kind of tired of this topic of patience, but just be patient with me for a little bit here, and we'll get through it, I'm sure. But this is the last week I have. I'm trying to figure out what I was trying to say here, but the edited version, again, did not come through. But we're definitely going to try and get through this. But it's almost like we've gone over every aspect of the waiting process from beginning to end through the 4 weeks. But you got to ask yourself the question about the waiting period. Everyone focuses on what you should do while you wait, and that's super important, because without that, there is no progress in your waiting period. There is no work. There is no revolutions made, if you will, through the waiting process that brings you closer. But you should ask yourself a couple of questions as well during this waiting period, because patience is great. Reading your Bible is great. Communing with God is great. But why do you do that? Do you do it because your church tells you to? Do you do it because your preacher gives you a 5-step plan to get you every day of the week until you're back to Sunday with a Saturday off because it's like a 9-to-5 job anymore? What do you do? Why do you do what you do? We wait a lot in our lives, but there's only a short period of time that you wait in a given time. In the big picture, it's a very short amount of time that you wait in those times. And these trials of patience are for a perfect work that we talked about, and we are commanded to wait for every time on the Lord. And this goes beyond our daily lives and into eternity. And I'd like to look at a few things today and look at the why of wait. And point number one, of course, is why wait? We've gone over this too, where everyone tells you that you ought to push your way through things and pray until something happens. Don't be satisfied with standing in one place. Don't be satisfied with a wall in your way. Break down that wall. Pull down that wall. Push down that wall. Go over the wall. Go around the wall. It doesn't matter. That's every speech you hear today in every sermon, is that God did not give you this amazing power to stand in front of a wall and wait. It's almost like He's endowed you with superpowers for you to use for your personal gain, because you're you and God loves you. And we focus on the last word of that sentence a whole lot more than we did the first word, and that God loves you. That's okay. I love me too. That's great. But why do you wait? Psalms chapter 27 and verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And in life, you get run down real fast. You know, for almost 2 years now in the car business, I work 6 days a week. 6 days a week, and I come to church Sunday, and then I went back to it Monday, and it's just 6 days a week, just a daily grind, every day. It became a really terrible habit. And I got run down really fast. Christianity is sort of the same way. The way they run it now is that you go, and you don't get a break. Every day, you know, that's why they do that to keep people involved, to keep people on the hook, to keep people in the ministry, quote unquote, is because if you let people take a day off, they're out of the groove. And there's no interest. I'm not sure how many of you have heard win 'em, wet 'em, work 'em, but that is the motto of many a churches. You get them to say a prayer, you throw them through baptism, and you get them to work. And then you put them on a bus route on Saturday and Sunday, you put them on children's ministry Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday you do teens, and then Friday you do an activity because it's fun, and then Monday you go out for men's coffee. You just keep on going, you keep on going, you keep on going. You don't leave time for a home life because church life has to be everything to keep their numbers up and their money coming in, and that's just the way it works. That's the way we run it. And so that's why this idea of patience and having to wait is a foreign idea to these churches, because there is no time. That you cannot leave any time for an idle mind, because then they might think that, why am I really doing this? If you don't swear your devotion to that church, then you don't belong in that church. That's how they run it. That's not how God set it up. There's a lot in there about stopping, meditating, and waiting on the Lord. So when you run into these walls, when you're living your Christian life, and you run into these walls, you come to a ledge you can't jump across, and God tells you, wait. And your first reaction is, why? I am going along, I'm rolling along, everything's going great. Why? It's not our place to ask why. It's our place to work for God in the same way we were when we were rolling right along. The question here is not so much why wait, but why do you wait? Because the option is there, as we are taught, to push your way through and find your own answer and get there quicker. Find a shortcut. Go down the ledge and climb up the other side. You know, just make it harder on yourself. We're willing to make it harder on ourselves if it gets the results faster. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it is. And so if you don't look at this in the right way, or you're not doing patience the right way, then it's not beneficial at all. When you ask yourself, why wait, regardless of how hard you focus, you have to look at how you're using that time. Have you ever considered that you're told to wait and being held up from this great progress that you've imagined in your mind simply because you don't have the strength to do the next thing God has for you to do? Mm-hmm. Have you ever considered that maybe, though you have everything that you think you need to do this great thing for God, you don't have that strength built up in your heart quite yet? Look back in the verse, it says, "And he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. That strength comes from the Lord. It's not something that you get from having the tools you need to do the job. I can have the tools to do any job I need, but if I'm not rested up, I'm not going to get that job done correctly and to the greatest and fullest extent that's supposed to be, such as we are to be looking to be of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you do not have the strength in your heart to do what God would have you to do next, it is best that you wait.
Yes.
And run that process of waiting and patience, that you should commune with God more, study more of His Word, know God closer.
Yes.
Kids think all the time that they can do anything. Lucas climbs up on that thing of Libby's that Dakota has built and decides that he's going to jump from the top because it's just what he should do. Even though his legs are about as big around as a quarter, he's not going to break his legs when he hits the bottom. Why? He honestly thinks that he can because he's got legs, he's got height, and he can jump. He's got no depth perception, but he can jump. So he thinks that he's just going to jump off that thing and land and be okay. And it'll be super cool. And it's something that he's done. But can he? Absolutely not. But if he grows a little stronger, gets a little bigger, learns a little more about physics and life, there are ways you can jump off that and land safely. You can land safely. So sparing him the pain of jumping off and hurting himself terribly off that high ledge, because I said, no, wait, don't jump, it saves him a whole lot. Does he know why I tell him to wait? Does he know that if I, and I haven't told him, but does he know that if he jumps off there without me catching him, that he's really going to hurt himself? No. But he listens because he trusts me. He may not like it, but at least he listens. It's the same way with us. We think we can do these things. We think we have what we need to do these things. But God says, no, because he's standing on the ground looking at the big picture. God knows. And as our Father, he does what's best for us. Not because it would satisfy us to jump off and land and show everybody what we can do. Because he knows that if he's jump off, it's not going to do what we think it's going to do. We ought to commune with God and make sure that we're doing all we can for God to strengthen our hearts. And to strengthen our hearts through God, who gives us our strength. A second question you ought to ask yourself during this waiting period is, what are you working for? During this time of patience, we talked about working while you wait. Continuing on, keep reading your Bible, keep communing with God, glean what you can from others about the situation you're in and what can be done afterwards. But again, a process is only a process if you're doing it correctly. You can go out, it's your, about your motivation. Anyone can tell you how to do something. Your kids can take out the trash, but if they're huffing and puffing all the way, it's nothing but a stench in the nostrils of God. Because a chore done for your parents in a bad attitude is just as good as not doing the chore at all.
Right.
It may get done, but it's not getting done the way it should be done, and there's no progress made at all. It's through wrong spirit. This is the same way. Patience is hard to have. Waiting is hard to do. Living is hard to do. However, when we realize that this is now a waiting period, we have been told to wait and we're not getting an answer yet. There are a lot of people that set their feet and say, God, this is what I want. It needs to happen now, or I don't know what I'll do. They've convinced themselves that they have prophesied their own future and that they know that if this doesn't happen, nothing good will ever happen in their life until this happens right here, right now. Patience in that process does not act that way. But if someone tells you, well, you ought to do this while you wait, it would help you immensely. And you do it, still doing it, in order that God will make this happen in your life, is still not right. You ought to do it, again, with a clear mind, a known conscience. And that goes in every area of your life. God doesn't always do what you want him to do. Because he's not a puppet on a string. He is God. And you were created for his glory. In this process of patience, you may figure out a few things like, hey, that thing that I want done is not what God wants done. I was looking for a job probably for 3 or 4 months now, looking to go into one field or another. And I found 2 or 3 doors and they just ended up shutting. And it was really frustrating. Like, really frustrating. And I wasn't selling any cards either, so I mean, there wasn't no consolation to be had. I mean, there was money was tight, and it looked like this was a great opportunity. It looked like this was a great opportunity. And so you're praying about it, and like, Lord, this is a great opportunity. And God's like, I know. Thanks for letting me know. Appreciate it. And you're like, hey, God, I'm glad you closed that door, but look at this. This has to be the one you opened. He's like, okay, great. Yeah, I opened it. And it's like, I'd really like to take it. And he's like, no. And you're like, that was great. He goes, I know. You can't tell God anything that he doesn't know. So when you go to prayer and say, God, this is an amazing opportunity. This is what I need to be doing. This would be great for my family. This would be great for the... And you throw a little church in there. This would be great. The hours I could go to church and be at their activities and help the church more. And he's like, I know, it's great, but it's not what I have for you. And you're not willing to accept that answer. Well, then door number three comes open, and you're like, okay, third strike, and you're, okay, this is great. Over here must be what it is. And he's still no. But the point is, you're praying for more opportunities, and you're praying for a little hope in your life that you won't be stuck selling cars for 27 years like somebody else I know. And so here's how you need to look at that, is that he's hearing your prayers. He's showing you, literally, that I can open whatever door I want out of nowhere. So why do you keep telling me that's the door? This process of patience is not here to frustrate us. But it's also here to show us that God's still there and God still cares. So when you ask yourself, why am I working while I wait? Are you working because that's the only way God's going to open a door? Or are you working because it's the right thing to do and God is worthy to be worked for and worthy to be praised, and no matter what time in your life you're going through? So while those doors are open and he's showing you, I can open whatever door as fast as I want and make it move as fast pace as it needs to go. And then when you finally give up and you say, work it out if that's what you have for him. But until then, I'm selling cars. And then another door opens up and it's like, hey, okay. And it's exactly what you need. Like, there's no short. There's no dispute. It'll pay the bills. It'll give you better hours. It'll give you more time. And it's everything that you were telling him that these doors would do. You know, we can make it work on that. No, okay. It's everything you were telling him you needed. It's everything you're telling. Well, look at this. That's what I need right there. But you have to be willing to accept, no, it's not. And the door shuts
right
back.
Right. Yep.
Because it's about the point that God is working. God can do it. And God will do it in his time. And he does stuff like that to show you that I'm hearing you. I know what you need. But that's not it. So why are you working? Are you working to see those doors open and jump at the first chance you get? Or are you working to truly seek God's will while you wait? Because a lot of people treat that working like it's a bribe to God or something like, yeah, you know, I know you'll open the door, so I'll just keep going for you. You throw me a bone, I'll throw you a bone, you know. That's not how it works. That working is there for your benefit, not God's. I don't know how many people need this newsflash, but you working is not a benefit to God. It is the whole duty of man to work for God, keep his commandments, and serve him and glorify him. That is our duty, not his pleasure. It's reasonable service. So if you are working so that God will give you what you want, you are working for the wrong reasons. So when you work, again, there's no notes for the last 2 points. When you work, does it reflect a happiness in God, or does it reflect a discontentment in waiting? Are you speeding things along, or is God working things along? It's something we ought to think about. And lastly, you got to think about what you are waiting on. And this is both in the short term and the long term. Going short term, when you're doing those works and you're working for God and communing with God, getting to know God a little better, if you will, and understanding His will for your life, what are you waiting on? Are you just waiting on an answer? Is this something God has to do to get your attention, to get you back closer to Him and understanding Him more? Is that something that's due to whet your appetite to really dig in more? Or is that something you're doing already? And this is just a pure beneficial circumstance to have more time to do it more. You really got to think about it. Is when everything is going well, that is the easiest time for the devil to get in there. Because when everything's going well and you're understanding stuff and it's great and you're rolling right along, I mean, you're following this path and it's great, that's when you're the most vulnerable. And I'm not sure how many people will understand this when I say it, but that is when you are the most vulnerable. Because you're not watching, because you're rolling along. When I'm going 70 miles an hour down the road, I don't notice anything but the road. But when I slow down a little bit and are forced to stop, I can look around a little more. And so I know that, hey, this car behind me is not stopping. I ought to do something about that. Or brace for impact or something. Or it'll just go over me. Depends on what car I'm in. I understand a little better the dangers that are around me when I'm stopped. I understand a little better what I have to look out for, or who's next to me, or who's watching me when I'm stopped. When I'm flying down the road, I don't care about nobody. Because for one, they'll run you off the road before they'll help you out. And for two, you don't see anybody. There's no accountability. Unless someone knows your car, mine pretty stands out pretty well, but unless somebody knows your car, then they don't know who it is. And so you put your guard down a little more to the point where you don't pay attention and you're not consciously doing, you know what I mean? You're like not consciously guarding your heart. When God stops you at the edge, you're a lot more conscious about what's around you, who's watching, and who's watching you stand there to see what you're going to do next. How do you keep your mind in sight at this point? Just like I said, through the patience of waiting, the process of patience, you get what I mean? Through the process there, you understand about communing, about reading, about everything we've talked about here. I'm not even going to repeat myself again. But why do you do that? What are you waiting for? Again, do you do that purely for an answer to what you're waiting for? Or is there a higher goal on your mind? In Acts chapter 1, the disciples were gathered together, waiting. And they were waiting for one thing. Let's see if it got that reference. They were waiting for the promise of the Father, that He would send Him His Spirit. They'd send the Holy Ghost so that they would have power to preach the gospel. Because that was their ultimate end game.
Yes.
When the disciples were gathered together after Jesus was ascended up into the clouds, they didn't gather together to figure out what they were going to preach next. They didn't get together to figure out how many people they were going to convert. All they did was they did as God commanded, and they sit and they wait until the promise of the Father was given unto them. And then they went out with the goal in mind that the same goal we should have is that we would be an example for Christ. Because through waiting and through the patience, it has nothing really to do with what we're being patient about, what we're waiting for, or what answer we're about to receive. Because it's not about the end, it's about the journey. It is about how you waited, what you did while you waited, in light of eternity. Because the answer you receive will be temporal in this matter of earth. The answer you receive will be the absolute end of things. There will not be much to come out of that answer, per se. Because it will be, usually, what we're seeking for this life, for right now. What this is about and what you can do will benefit you, not now, but in eternal life. And what you've got to look at is everything you do now, eternal life starts now. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that sounds like a really good church motto, but eternal life starts now. As soon as you get saved, as soon as you accept Christ, and you know what you're doing, and you learn more. I mean, this is what it's about right here. It's not about praying and asking God for a better job, or praying and asking God for a house. That is mere fringe benefits that God grants you in your life. It's what He grants you, and He says, I know what you need, and so here it is. Because He does understand that we have temporal needs that need taken care of right here, right now. So though you're waiting for an answer on a job, on money, on the house, on just whatever you're doing, it's not what it's about. Because money runs out, houses fall down, and jobs get lost. What doesn't get lost is what you learned about the Bible during that waiting period. It's about how close you got to God and how close you remain even after that waiting period. It's all about what you do in the now in benefit of eternity. What you do in that waiting period, if done correctly, will carry on through eternity and forever benefit you. Because you are not going to spend eternity praying about jobs and money and houses. You're going to spend eternity praising an eternal God that delivered you out of that situation and give you everything you needed. Not everything you wanted, but everything you needed and that He knew you needed. And in contrast, what you wanted. During that time, you ought to know God's will and align your will with His. And that will make the answer what you want. Not in the beginning what you wanted, but if that's not what God wants, well, that's not what I want anymore. I want Him. I want His will. I want His voice. I want His words. I want His hand on my life. Furthermore, this is not about now. It's about eternity. What you do while you learn is the only thing you'll get later on. Because though you may receive your answer about what you're praying about, think about those people that aren't waiting, walking by, watching you stand at that ledge, at that wall, whatever it may be. Like I said last week about examples, it's not about you when you're waiting. Just like I said at the beginning of this, you get stopped. You're not moving anymore. The first thing you ask is, okay, why? I was on a roll. I was moving. Things were going well. I was serving God. I still am serving God. Why am I waiting? It's because that boy walking past you every day on his journey through his life while he's still rolling sees you waiting and sees what you're doing while you're waiting and sees you communing with God and continuing in prayer and church and Bible reading and understanding that everyday life does not stop with waiting. But rather, you carry on for the cause of Christ because that is not, waiting is not your life. The cause of Christ is your life.
Right.
And that never stops.
Right. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And these people that are walking by you right now seeing that, when they get stopped and when they have to wait, they're not going to stop and develop more push methods for them to keep going. Through that wall, under that wall, around that wall, whatever they want to do, they're going to stop and they're going to understand the commandments and the words of God through your example. And if you drop the ball is dropped forever. That's what's happened to these churches. No one has taken up the responsibility. No one's walking and no one's waiting. We're pushing. We're shoving. We're forcing God's will on our life. And that's not what God has for us. We are to wait. We are to read. We are to know God. And that is what our duty is. That is the mission in patience. Because it's not about how you're waiting. It's about who's watching while you're waiting. So what are you doing? And why are you doing it? Are you doing it so people will look at you and praise your example forevermore? Are you doing it for the glory of God as it ought to be? Because it benefits you, it benefits them, and it'll benefit everyone in all of eternity because you waited as God would have you to wait. Because you know God now, and they will know God later through your example. And if you fail, we all fail. Don't drop the ball.
Right.
Wait. If anything, drop on your knees. That's all you need. Just don't get impatient. Impatience ruins not just your life, but everybody's life involved when you get under it. If you get impatient, you decide to push your way through that wall, they don't see someone that's made it through the wall. They see a crumbled wall that will never be built back up. The foundation will be gone because you were impatient and you milled under that wall, and now it's crumbling because nothing will hold it up and they have nothing to look to. And when they walk by, they see no one there waiting patiently. They see a crumbled wall that will be there for all eternity, dooming their soul to hell.
That's right.
Because you were impatient.
Yep.
Right.
It's hard to read when you're moving so fast. But when you're stopped and you have a chance and you can read, you can understand, you can absorb, this is what it's for. You are to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You have to be patient as a tree because you don't go nowhere at all. Your roots only go deeper. The river only flows harder and you only grow stronger unless you're impatient. There are trees called walking trees that pull up their roots regularly and actually go across entire rivers. But their roots are never deep, their trunks are never large, and they are overall unhealthy trees because they are impatient. They will not dig down deeper and they through the dry soil to find the water that will keep them alive, and they have to know it in order to dig for it. But they're lazy. They walk.
Right.
They find the water that's here right now and they just move around from stream to stream, from puddle to puddle, and soaking up what they can, leaving it, and it does not sustain them.
That's right.
Another thing about a walking tree, nobody has a good example about a walking tree like, hey, I want to be that when I grow up. Because it's not what is in nature, what's supposed to be. It is nothing but a bad example. These trees over by my house are huge. I mean, they're dead. And they're still standing because their roots are so deep. Yeah. It has withstood storms and everything else. The branches are everywhere. I mean, it's not a healthy tree. But it's dug its roots so deep to the point where you can still look at that tree and it's still standing there.
Yep.
But if you're a walking tree, no one would know you're there. You learn nothing from it. It is a total waste on society. God did not put you here, especially in this church, to be a waste on society. God did not put you here and save your soul so you could be a walking tree finding little puddles every now and again. Dig for the Word of God. Dig for the water of life. Get it inside you. Dig your roots deep down so that other people can look at you and grow as you have grown and know what you know. You cannot tap from another tree's roots. You can only learn that their roots have gone so deep down that they have found something to sustain them. You cannot dig from your father's roots. You have to decide that your root needs to go down just as deep to find what he's found to sustain himself in this ground here.
Good.
And you cannot do that without patience. But you can look at him and see what he's done in order to get his roots down deep. You can do two things. You can go your own way and push and be a walking tree, or you can learn from God and his word and grow closer to him and finally, with some resolve, get through the bedrock and clay and get to the water that will sustain you for as long as life will go on. And if you have that eternal water that is Jesus Christ, you will never run out.
Yes.
So why are you waiting? Are you waiting for your own glory, for your own answer, for this life? Get your mind off of temporal things while you're waiting. Waiting is here for eternity because you're not waiting for an answer. You're not waiting for your best life now. What you're waiting for truly in the end is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what you should be waiting for.
Yes, amen.
And if you don't know him, you're not waiting for that. You're putting it off in your mind. You're waiting simply for the church to shut up about it. and it won't happen. You've got to turn to Christ, and the entire picture that you're showing yourself has to be the end game of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the clouds.
Amen.
In the end, you're not waiting for an answer. Why is patience easier as a Christian? Because your life is patience. That God knows when He should come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but in your time.
Yes.
We will wait. We will continue working. We will march on in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and use this time wisely to become more like Christ and get to the measure of the fullness of the stature of God.
That's right.
That's what we're here for. Why are you waiting? Are you just waiting for an answer simply, or are you truly waiting for the coming of Christ? Are you waiting to set a good example? Are you waiting patiently, as we should? All four of these lessons that we come to, and now number five, is not so much about the temporal part in our lives, or four steps or five steps to waiting patiently in your life. It's to understand what we should be doing, not when we're just waiting for an answer, but why we should be waiting in life, because ultimately, we're all waiting, pins and needles, for Jesus Christ. That's what our life should be about. Our life is about waiting. And the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And if we don't have that, we ought to be questioning our own salvation. Wait on the Lord. He will restore your strength. In your time of waiting, and in the lifetime of waiting, we do for our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming. We all know that. He is coming. What are you doing while you're waiting for His coming? Are you being beneficial to the church or to the world while you're waiting? Work while you wait.